Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to preach to you for a few minutes, and I want to simply entitle this, From the Donkey's Point of View. From the donkey's point of view. Jesus travels from Lazarus' house, who was his best friend, who he was involved in helping getting him out of the grave. He went from Bethany, that Lazarus' house, to a place called Bethpage. And there is so much on Jesus' mind because what we call the Holy Week, he is about to start off, kick off, and begin this week-long journey that goes from riding into Jerusalem and being heralded and worshiped to death, to resurrection, which we'll celebrate next week. And all of this is on Jesus' mind, and it's weighing heavily upon him. Can you imagine? I mean, he is God manifested in flesh. And he knows what is facing him. The fear and trepidation about the next week is weighing on Jesus. The pressure is mounting. And we see this in the text that we read that talks about this Holy Week. But I can imagine where he is. Before him is false accusations. Before him is betrayal of one of his 12, Judas. The trial, the beating, the mocking, the plucking of the beard, the spittle, Gethsemane. It's Gethsemane where he will pray so intensely and so feel the weight of sin that he is about to take on, so come upon him that he will literally sweat, the Bible says, as great drops of blood. That's pressure, people. That's trouble. That's tough. And he knows he's facing that. It's in that garden that he also asked, we see a little glimpse into the humanity of Christ when we see him say, let this cup pass from me. He is saying, is there another way to get this done? And three different times he asked that question, is there another way? Let this cup pass from me. But it doesn't. And he knows, he faces all of this trouble in his life that's about to go down in the next week. The Bible says Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And I'm sometimes take things a little probably too literal, but I can almost see, I can see his face and him, you know, setting his face like a flint, setting his face toward Jerusalem because everything within him is not wanting to go to Jerusalem. And I know Palm Sunday we say, man, well, everybody ought to enjoy going down and people herald you and worshiping you and all this stuff. Yeah, but he knew that was not going to last. But he set his face towards Jerusalem with all this pressure on him. And I want to speak to this to some. There's a lot of things I'm going to say and tie this story and speak into your life. But sometimes you have to set your face towards what you have to do. Anybody hear me? Sometimes you don't like what you're facing. Sometimes you don't like what you're up against. And sometimes you have to set your own face toward it and saying, I'm going forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a word for somebody right there. Sometimes you just know I'm up against a struggle, but I'm going to set my face forward. I'm moving. Not only was Jesus in turmoil with what was around him, but the city that he was about to ride into was in great turmoil. They were under political unrest, and there was an uprising, and there was a struggle there, and there was a disturbance going on because Jerusalem was under the rule at this time of the Romans. They had their Roman authority and power over the Jewish people. And so if there was any acting out, they would punish you. They would take advantage of it. They would snuff out. They were tough rulers. And so there was a lot of political unrest. The Jewish people hated the Romans there. Not only was there political unrest, but there was a religious uprising and disturbance because the Jewish and the Sanhedrin, the religious community, the priest, all of them are livid of what's going on right now and the climate of what is happening and the fact that Jesus has created this stir in Jerusalem that is messing up the religious, messing up the cathedrals, messing up the priest. It's just messing things up, and they are hating it. In fact, they are the ones that are trying. It's not the Romans. It's the religious that are trying to take Jesus out, bring accusations. And so there's political disturbance, and there's religious disturbance, and that's what he's about to ride into. And not only is he doing that, but in his own 12, before he rides into Jerusalem, he's got one of his named Judas among the 12 that are against him, that is against him. And he knows this. In fact, the Bible says that Satan had entered into Judas. And we don't know exactly when that took place, but I like to say, I think it's already at this point, because he's already fussing about money issues and struggling. And it's not to have more money for the kingdom, like he said. It's more money for himself. And so he's got Satan up in his group attached to Judas. And so everything is against Jesus. Every struggle, every pressure that you can imagine is on this man. As he's about to enter the toughest week of his life, the toughest week of his ministry, the toughest week that a week like none of us have ever had, a week where he will die, bury, and we celebrate resurrection, but there's a lot of struggle before that. And now Jesus is about to ride in, and the pressure on the Romans to do something about this is mounting, and the pressure on the Jewish Sanhedrin is about to be ramped up. Now let me preach to you and where I'm going and laying the groundwork for all of this pressure and all this trouble and all of these things on Jesus' mind as he makes preparations to enter into Jerusalem, and he sets his face toward Jerusalem. And in the middle of all of that, he makes a statement. And he says this, in the middle of all this going on, he turns to two of his disciples and he says this, I want you to go into the nearest city, and there you will find a colt tied up. Go into the nearest city and you're going to find a colt that is tied up. I really studied this out last night because I wanted to make sure you understand that my title today is from the donkey's point of view, because the Bible states that this is a donkey, and then we hear this colt, and so there's a lot that goes to it that I don't have time to preach and lay out to you the history of it. But one thing I will say this, in biblical days, the colt was a young male donkey. And there's some interesting facts that go around all of that, but that's why it's referred to in some points as a donkey and some points as a colt. It's a young male donkey. In the middle of all this going on, he tells the disciples to go to the nearest city, and there you will find this colt or this donkey that's tied up. And this is where I want to start speaking and really into your life here today and try to give you something that you have, can chew on all week long. With all of this pressure and all this trouble on every side and all of this betrayal and pressure, this is the point that I want to tell you. Jesus still knows where the colt is tied up. With all that's going through his brain and the pressure, Jesus still knows where the colt is tied up. And this makes me so happy. And you say, well, why would that mean anything to you? Because this is the deal. Because if Jesus knows where the colt is in the middle of all this pressure, then I can tell you he knows where I am. Somebody give the Lord a shout. He knows where I am. He knows exactly. If he knows where that colt is tied up to a post and all of that's been set aside and laid out, I can tell you he knows exactly where you are in the middle of your pressure, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your fear, in the middle of your trepidation. I got a word for you today. If he knows where the donkey is and where he's tied up, he knows where you're at. Somebody shout Jesus to it. And I'm going to tell you this, even if he doesn't fix it all for me, I'm just happy to know that he knows where I'm at. Even if everything is not worked out before I leave this building today, just the fact that I've got knowledge to know that this Jesus whom we serve knows where I'm at, frees me up and gives me a peace to lift my hands and say, blessed be the name of. Can anybody stand with me right now and just worship the King of Kings that knows exactly where you are at? Somebody shout to the Lord with a voice of praise. He knows where you're at. Turn around and tell somebody, say, I'm telling you, he knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. You better believe it. He knows where you're at. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows you're down sitting, you're up rising. I'm going to tell you on this Palm Sunday, Jesus knows where you're at. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he knows where you're at. Ooh, I needed that. If you didn't, I needed that. You may be seated. I want you to picture the colt. Picture the colt. We're getting the view from the donkey. So let's picture the colt. Here he is. He's just standing there. Now let me tell you what's unusual about this situation. He's standing at a post that he's tied to, and he's unused. Now, how can I say that? The Bible talks about in the text that we read earlier when we were leading service that he had never had anybody on his back. No one had ever sat upon him. And he had been unused, if I can say it. He had been looked over until that point. Oh, this is going to speak to you. He'd been looked over. And here comes two disciples down the road. Can you imagine the knowledge that they've got that they're about to call for this little donkey? And they walk up to this donkey. Can you kind of see it? I hate for you to have to visualize it through me. But you see this donkey up there with these big old ears. And they're just, donkeys make me laugh. They're just a funny creature anyways to me. And I can see him tied up, and he's got these ears, and here comes two disciples. And I can kind of hear them say, little donkey, Jesus has not forgotten you. I know you think you're forgotten, and you think you're unused and you have no purpose, but Jesus has not forgotten you. You need to lift up your head, for you are about to step into the greatest moment of your life. You are about to, upon your back, I know that you've been unused and stepped around and nobody thought you were worthy to ride, but I got to tell you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is about to set upon you, and you're about to ride in, and it's going to be spoken of for thousands of years. And I imagine the donkey would go, what, me? Little bitty. Hey, I can do that. There's another spot that the donkey talks, so I can make him talk here too. But I can imagine that he's going, really? Up until this time, the colt lived without any sense of purpose. He was born for this, and yet he has never done anything according to his purpose. He has no sense of significance, without a sense of affirmation, just going through the motions. Why am I eating? I don't know. Kind of Eeyore sounded. I don't know. Why am I drinking? I don't know. Nobody loves me. Nobody even cares for me. I think I'll just go eat worms. I don't know. I don't even know why I was born. Nobody has ever sat on me, sat on my brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah. Everybody around me has been used. Everybody around me has purpose. Everybody around me is doing great. But I'm still tied to a post. I'm still forgotten. I still don't know why I'm born. I'm always overlooked and looked over. I'm never called on by my owner to do anything important. I must not have what it takes to be greatly used. I'm just standing in my own grave of misery. I'm walking in circles tied to a post of confusion of why am I even here, and despair and lack of direction for the next step of my life. But let me tell you this. I'm going to preach to you today. The colt didn't know that his isolation was really his reservation. His isolation was really a setup as a reservation for the greatest purpose that he was ever going to have. And so he was isolated. I'm going to have to contain myself. I can tell right now. I'm talking to someone today that you need to know your time of ambiguity and isolation was only a setup for your reservation. And you can be angry and you can fuss why God hasn't used you, why your moment has not come, why your purpose is not enacted, why it doesn't seem like you're going anywhere, and you're walking in a circle of confusion and despair and struggle. Somebody knows where I'm at right now. And you're stomping your foot, and you're wondering what tomorrow holds. Why am I eating? Why am I living? It feels like I'm going in circles. But I gotta tell you, you've been sent here for a reason, for your isolation has put you in reservation. Somebody give the Lord a shout, a hallelujah, an amen, or something. You have not been overlooked. You have been reserved. You see, Zechariah talked about you, little donkey. Zechariah talked about you maybe 1,000 years ago when he prophetically said that there was going to be a donkey ride this Jesus into Jerusalem. You've been reserved for 1,000 years and you're still sitting here thinking you're nobody because you're tied up and unused. Don't you understand? You're probably the most famous donkey of, of all donkeys. And I can't hardly say donkey without saying donkey. You just had to have a lot of kids growing up watching a lot of animated stuff. But I see this little donkey thinking he's nothing when all the while he's been reserved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and prophesied for 1,000 years. And you think that God doesn't know where you're at. And you think that God doesn't understand exactly what you're going through at this exact moment, that he's got more purpose in a donkey than he's got in you. Are you absolutely lost your ever-loving mind? God Almighty has so set into you that you have the image of Christ inside of you. He said, greater things that they will do that I have not done. I've entrusted you with the power and authority. Quit thinking that God doesn't have any. I'm preaching to somebody. God has called you for such a time as this. He's reserved you. He's reserved you. I'm going to explain it like this. If I go to a restaurant, where I could call ahead at the restaurant, if it's a fine dining place, they'll reserve a table for you. Now, I'm not there yet. I may be getting ready. My wife and I may be getting ready, or you may be getting ready. But I'm not there yet. There may be people already there eating at other tables, but they walk over to this table and they put a reserve sign. It's under reservation. No one else can touch it. No one else can sit there. It's special. It has a purpose. Now, during this time, if you're in the room, don't start looking at that table saying something must be wrong with that table. It's not being used. Something must be wrong. The chairs must be broken. The feet on the table must be messed up. Something's wrong. Don't you underestimate the table. The table doesn't have anyone at it because it has been reserved for the purpose that's on its way. And so you can talk against it. You can fuss at it. You can make fun of it. But in just a few moments, there's already been a call come in that the reservation tag has been placed upon it. And just a few moments, good night. And just a few moments, the purpose is going to come to the forefront. See, you've had people look at you and scoff at you and make fun of you and think that you have no purpose just because in the current state that you're in, that you don't think, and you can start listening to the world and getting to thinking that you don't have a reason to live. Can I just tell you something? Don't you ever listen to that. Because God has placed a reservation on you and there is a purpose for you. Just because you haven't stepped into it yet doesn't mean that it is not to come. He chose you out. He set you apart. The isolation is part. I got to calm down if I'm going to finish this message. In fact, why don't you turn around and tell somebody, say, I am reserved. Tell them again, say, I'm under reservation. When the time is right, I'm going to be ready. can I say what I feel? Some people in your time of isolation, you'll start letting everybody else sit at your table because you think God's not going to show up. If God called, he's going to show up. And the problem is you start putting everybody at your table and you've made mistake after mistake after mistake because you keep trying to do your own will and put people at your table and God's not wanting them at your table because he's already... Because God's already reserved it, but you keep pushing the plate. You keep doing your thing. And all the while, God said, if they'll sit for a moment, I've got a reservation for you that I'm going to use you in a greater than you've ever been used. But you've got to trust me that when I call, I will arrive. Man. Somebody stand to your feet and shout hallelujah. Shout praise the Lord. He's speaking to somebody here today. He's speaking to somebody here today. He's speaking to somebody here today. Somebody say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. You are one step away from overlooked to looked upon, one step away from ambiguity to notoriety, but you've got to understand you've been reserved for such a time as this. There's not a person in this room that hasn't been there, including your pastor. There's a time, there's a season, there's a place. As he preached last week, you've got to remain, you've got to stay, you've got to be faithful. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right here. And the time is right. I'll be waiting for what God has called me for. And Jesus sends the disciples down there, but Jesus knows, as he always knows, When he lays claim to what he's reserved, there's always going to be opposition. Because anytime he steps into claim what he's reserved, somebody in the room always steps up and say, wait a minute, you can't have that. And so Jesus understood that. And so he lays that out in the process and says this, I want you to get there. And if someone asks you, why are you taking this donkey? I want you to tell them in whose authority that you came there with. I want you to tell them what comes behind you when you say the words. I want you to say this. I want you to tell them that the Lord has need of it. That's just what I want you to say. And with that, there's this power. He didn't say all this, but I'm saying this. There's all this power. There's all this authority that's laced up in that very strongly, that when you say that, the owner is going to respect the authority in which you come. But I have to deal with something theological here for just a second before I go any further. Because if you go back to the book of Exodus, there is a law in the book of Exodus that says that when, man, this is so good, you better hold to your seat. You ready? In the book of Exodus, there is a law that says that a colt, when it is born, someone can't, say, for instance, a colt was born to Brandon, I can't come in and take that donkey without offering and giving him a lamb. Oh, be calm, Nathan, be calm, be calm. But my struggle with this is when I read this story that Jesus didn't send the disciples with a lamb. And so I struggle with Exodus and understanding Exodus and the law, and that Jesus didn't send a lamb when he sent for the colt, which was unheard of, and they understood and knew what was supposed to happen there. Until I understand this, Jesus understood, I'm not sending the lamb because I am the lamb. I am the lamb. I don't have to send a creature, an animal that is a lamb, because I am becoming the New Testament lamb that is going to come in exchange for the colt. And when I do so, a lamb is the only thing that will redeem the colt, according to Exodus. And so when I come to this situation, I understand that Jesus, being the Lamb of God, is the only one that can redeem the colt from the former owner. He redeemed the lamb through the power of the authority of who he was. And so, the only way you can be redeemed is if there's a lamb exchanged for your freedom. They couldn't come and just steal him. They had to redeem him. So Jesus says, tell the owner, the Lord has need of it. And the owner understood, I got you, because I know who your owner is. And there's some kind of revelation there that we don't have laid out in the Word of God, because you just don't take a colt without there being an exchange. And so the owner maybe understands that what's calling for it has greater authority than me as the previous now owner of this colt. Now, I want to be funny here for just a minute. Can you imagine the donkey, and from his point of view? Go with me here just a minute. Can you imagine the donkey looking over at his former owner who has kept him unused, tied up? And now he has been redeemed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? Now, again, I know you're going to picture me as a donkey up here. But I got to tell you, if I was that donkey, I'd be going, whatever they do. Whatever. Oh, God, that's on Facebook. stomping that foot, and I imagine him doing a little jig and saying, looking over at owner and saying, "You don't own me anymore. Shut up, donkey. I can do what I want to do because you don't own me anymore." You don't own me. I've been bought. I've been adopted. Somebody signed my adoption papers. You've kept me unused, unaffirmed, out of my purpose. But, oh, owner, I got to tell you something. I got new purpose now. I've got been purchased by a new person, the Lamb of God. The power of who I have been purchased by. Someone in this room needs to understand something. You need to understand who you belong to so that you change your adoption papers to read purchased by the Lamb. And I'll tell you, this is the problem with so many folks, even in the church. Some of us are still living life listening to the old owner. The old owner, the enemy, the devil, is constantly in your ear telling you things, and you're listening to him, and he doesn't even own you. Why do I know that? Because on Friday, he purchased you with his blood. He redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb. You no longer have any right or need to listen to the enemy, the devil, your old owner, any longer. You can make funny noises. You can shout a little bit. You can hit your hoof on the ground and say, "Oh, devil, I don't have to listen to you anymore. I am now somebody, and I know who I am because I peeked at my adoption papers, and it says purchased by the King." You can't tell me anymore I'm incapable of anything. You can't tell me anymore or make fun of me all you want, but I don't have to listen to you that my ears are too big, that I have a dumb brain. I don't have to listen to you anymore that my body is not like the great stallion. I don't have to listen to you anymore. I got purpose. Y'all get the picture? I got purpose. I got purpose. Some people need a little extra help. Y'all saying, "Yeah, he needs help." I got purpose. I've got destiny. I know who I am. I'm not unused. I've been isolated for reservation, and now's my time, baby. I'm coming out, and I know who I am. I know who I am. But I got another problem. I've been redeemed, but I hadn't been released. I've been called for, but I'm still tied to a post. And I'm walking in circles of confusion and despair. Because I know what I've been called for, but haven't been released from what I'm tied to. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. And so, my redemption is great, and I worship. And I thank him for the blood of the Lamb. But the next part of my healing has not taken place. That I haven't been released from the post that I'm tied to by my former owner. He cannot be released until he has been redeemed. But if he redeems you, he has the right to release you. I'll say it again. You cannot be released until he has redeemed you. But if he redeemed you, He has the right to release you. But I'll say this, and we preach it quite often here at this church, which is a unique thing that we preach at this church, and that is this: you can be redeemed and not be released. You can be redeemed. You can be saved and not exercise your freedom. That's why we have a dot one and a dot two. Dot two is salvation. Dot two is find freedom. Lazarus came out of the grave. Jesus saved him from the grave, saved him from death, saved him from being in the grave. But when he came out, he turned to the church and said, now release him and let him go. Because there's a dot one and a dot two, a salvation and a find freedom. You can be redeemed and not set free. But you got to understand that once I am redeemed, I have the power and the authority now to go the next step and be set free from the post that has tried to hold me and where I've been held to. And so, Jesus said, when you get there, tell them the Lord has need of him. And then I want you to do something. He said, untie the colt. Can you see the colt again? You can't keep me tied up. The owner says, wait a minute. No, wait a minute no more. You can't keep me tied up any longer because you don't own me anymore. Isn't there a song in Frozen about that? You don't own me or something? I made that up. They should have had it in Frozen. You don't own me. You don't own me anymore. You don't own me anymore. You can't keep me tied up anymore. You see, some of you have been redeemed and you know it because you showed up at the church this morning, but you're still tied up. You're not released. I'm speaking this to you in your heart. You're not released. You haven't been set free. And I want to tell you today, I come as a disciple to you today, if I can say it that way, to let you know I thank God that the Lord has need of you and he's called for you and he's redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb. But I want to come as a disciple to you and tell you that's not all the story. The rest of the story is he wants to untie you from the post that you've been tied to all of your life, or maybe part of your life, or seasons of your life. Kurt, is that all right today? He wants to untie you. He wants to let you go. He wants to free you. He wants you to understand when it's time to worship, you can throw your hands up and worship, because what used to hold you don't hold me anymore. I am set free. I am run. I remember watching a movie when I was a kid. I forgot the name of it right off. But Born Free. It's an old movie. And they running through the field, Born Free. Anyways, some of you can't sing that song. You can sing, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but you're not singing, I've been set free. And the devil won't let you run in the field because he's got you convinced that you're still tied to the post. But I'm preaching to you by the authority of the name of Jesus. Jesus said, untie the colt. Let it go. Free it. And what's it free for? It's free to step into the plan of which I've reserved it for, to step in there and be used according to God's will and God's plan for your life. He never releases you to do your own thing. He releases you for his plan. And you've now set free. But some of you need to kiss the post goodbye, because the Lord's word said, you are released. But you'll never know that you're released until you try to do something that you could not do before. It's when you get to the end of the leash and you've always felt the tug of the post and your issue and your struggle. I'm frustrated because I know I'm called. I know that God has something. I know I have the ability. But I've tied myself to this, and I won't let myself go. But you'll not know that you're released until you reach out and you do something that you used to couldn't do. And all of a sudden, you have freedom. I'm going to just tell this church something, and I close, and y'all can come and get ready to sing. And this is where I sometimes lose folks because they're watching everybody walk up. But, oh, do I need your concentration for just a moment. And that is this, and it's very important that you understand that I, as your pastor, need you redeemed. But I need you more than redeemed. I need you released. Is that all right to say? God has ordained, and God has divinely. I'm still like got my mouth open moment with God right now. And if you don't see it, get you a prayer time because he'll let you see it. I'm divinely inspired that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords saw our facility, that it was full, that we didn't know how to go forward. And he divinely inspired and took care of our situation. And we're about to move into the biggest setting this church in its history has the ability to walk in. And we're going to have chairs. It's really going to happen, y'all. It's really going to happen. I'm telling myself even that, but it's really going to happen. And we're going to walk in. And we're going to walk in there in that room, and there's going to be chairs. And there's going to be people that God's going to start sending that are not sitting on these chairs right now. Brand new people. Brand new people. And there's going to be those that have a little drug problem, and those that have a little pornography issue, and those that are struggling with post, and those are struggling with this, and those are struggling with that. And I'm up here just like I'm welcoming you, and just like I'm still welcoming you. And I'm saying this isn't, the place is not for the perfect. If it was your blood that we were counting on, we'd be all doomed. But I'm set free, and I'm redeemed by the blood of something greater than me.